Hi, this is Wade with Let the Bird Fly, a podcast about living freely in a world given back to us. Today I'm here for another Winging It session as we talk about my book, An Uncompromising Gospel, Lutheranism's First Identity Crisis, and Lessons for Today. And we're on our second major crisis to break out after the first one that set the stage for the subsequent ones, the adiaphoristic controversy. And this involves what has been known as, among some, as the majorist controversy, which was a controversy over good works. And this is, once again, a shorter section of the book, but one that's important to show that already after Luther's death, then, some of his most central teachings were questioned, and at the very best construction, I suppose, that could be put on it, obfuscated by some who had known him and taught with him and learned under him. And the issue, the major issue that developed with the teaching of Major, George Major, I suppose, as we would say it in English, was that he wanted to defend some of the language of the Leipzig proposal about good works. What is the role of good works? What is the place of good works in the Christian life? And I would say this is something that Lutheranism has left in its past, such struggles over the role and place of good works, but I think it's something that every generation has faced. Those of you who are Lutherans, especially confessional Lutherans, will realize the struggles that Lutheranism has had in its past with Pietism, for instance, which sought to do some very good things, but oftentimes fell into ditches regarding this as well. And I don't want to belabor the point today. I want to keep this somewhat short because I think it's a situation that can be understood fairly well. And the big difference that developed was Major wanted to defend and build upon some language of Melanchthon. And here, language where Melanchthon necessarily had not erred, but once again, one of his followers, his students, his colleagues, took things further than he had, or maybe to their logical conclusion. If you were to ask a Lutheran, are good works necessary? Any Lutheran worth his Bible and Book of Concord would say, of course they are. Good works are necessary because God commanded them, and faith without works is dead. But Major took this further, or farther, I never know which of those two words to use, and said that good works are necessary for salvation. And Major, like Osiander, managed to do something that not many had done at the time. Eventually, he unites most of the Lutherans, even many who had disagreed, in a disavowal of his teaching. I won't say condemnation, because not all went that far, but in a disavowal of what he was saying. Even Melanchthon himself would say that Major had spoken unclearly. And so that's the first prong of this. Are good works necessary? Of course, are good works necessary for salvation? Well, this becomes problematic. Salvation is the gift of God by grace through faith, given in the promise of the gospel, which brings to us the benefits of the cross of Christ, who was crucified for sinners. He was opposed in this by Amsdorf, Nicholas Amsdorf, von Amsdorf, and Flacius and others. And this would eventually lead to other issues that would arise. But they were united in making clear that salvation is a gift. It is not the product of works. Works play no role in salvation, although good works are a necessary result of faith. Not in the sense of we will measure our faith necessarily by works, but if we are alive, if we are living, that is, we will breathe in God's grace and then, of course, breathe out the obedience of faith. And Paul, when he uses that term, that's important, the obedience of faith. Amsdorf would perhaps maybe overstate his case, although with Amsdorf and Flacius in later controversies than this one, it's important to understand that they're employing Luther's language in many instances, maybe not as temperately as they might have, but they still are drawing upon Lutheran themes and Luther's own language, but I think also upon Pauline themes, even if they were perhaps unclear or overstated, as I mentioned earlier, their case. Amsdorf would eventually say that good works are detrimental to salvation, and he's picking up on this from Luther. And what he means is they're detrimental to salvation if we trust in them. The formula does not condemn, the formula of Concord, that is, does not condemn Amsdorf by name. Few at the time even really seem to have reacted to what he said. He's kind of the grandfather of Gnasio Lutheranism. He had been one of the early colleagues of Luther, and this is important in the book, I argue. He imbibed a lot of Luther's theology from the late 1510s and early 1520s, and most understood him correctly in what he was trying to say, or at least realized, you know, he's not trying to speak improperly or bring out any false teaching. But we do want to be careful, too. Good works are most certainly not detrimental to salvation in that the Christian will not want to do them. Rather, they're only detrimental to salvation if I now put my trust in them rather than in Christ. Major was a close friend of Flacius. It had wounded Flacius deeply that Major had come out against Flacius in the adiaphoristic controversy. He'd actually attacked Flacius for doing theology while not being ordained, even though, ironically, Melanchthon and many others were lay theologians, and I think there's a very important place in the church for lay theologians, and that's not to denigrate the office of a pastor, but it is to say the office of the pastor or a pastor is tied specifically to certain tasks too, which is the giving of the gifts through preaching and the administration of the sacraments. It's an office I'm in by virtue of my ordination, but I would be the first to say that what any parish pastor is doing is, when it comes to, you know, brass tacks, of much more importance than what I'm doing, as they are hearing confessions and absolving, as they are ministering to people in the parish. But theology is something that's given to the church, and not every great mind at theology necessarily is given to the tasks that come with ordination, at least ministry in the parish. And so Flacius was hurt by this, and then hurt that Major would come out against him and the Gnasio Lutherans. But in the end, this controversy was settled rather clearly. Good works are necessary. They will flow from faith, but good works are not necessary for salvation. And this is an important warning for Lutherans still today, and I think for all Christians, that when it comes down to, am I saved? Where do I stand with God? I need to look to Christ. I need to look to the gospel and not to myself. Now, when it comes to examining ourselves for the supper, or wondering, is our faith as strong as it could be? And here, specific faith and various doctrines, not necessarily saving faith, which Isaiah says, the bruised reed I will not break and the smoldering wick I will not extinguish. But our faith in general, as strong as it could be. Here also, we might get some gauge, I suppose, by looking at our works. But even when it comes to our sanctification, at least if we're speaking of it in the broad sense, our status before God, our status as saints, it gets pretty dangerous to start fruit checking or measuring too much, and even more dangerous when we're not content to do so only with ourselves but with others. And so, majoristic controversy, are good works necessary for salvation? Absolutely not. Are good works necessary? Of course they are. Are good works a ruler or a measuring stick? Probably that's not the best way to go about things. Where is our ultimate confidence and hope? It's in Christ Jesus, crucified for sinners, who comes to us in word and sacrament with the forgiveness of sins, with his mercy, and with his grace. And so a shorter winging it session on an important section of the book, but one that pretty much all Lutherans were united in their agreement on. And so hopefully you find it helpful. There's more information on the book on it. If you're interested in it, of course, I would once again point you to the Book of Concord, the Formula of Concord as well, for more information in this regard, as it does treat this issue, as the earlier confessions tend to as well. And so as you live freely in the faith that God has given you, as you live out your faith in the obedience of faith, living in those spontaneous works, the works prepared in advance for you to do by God himself, I pray that you will continue to Let the bird fly with the freedom and the confidence that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through that gospel alone.
Every evening when the sun goes down, get with my party and I begin to cry. I don't care what the people are thinking, I'm not drunk, I'm just a drinker. I set them up another round, I'll set them up another round, I'll set them up another round. One more round won't get me down. I don't care what the people are thinking.